right. We're going to be looking at worship music streams, playing different kinds of music. There's contemporary, there's hymns, there's scripture songs, there's gospel, there's all these different things. And as the music director, you know, you have to check what your church is. You know, maybe you're a hymn-only church, or who knows what kind of songs you do. But we're going to just introduce you to a lot of different streams, and then you'll have more options to pick from them. We're going to look a little bit at the history of music here, and but more specifically, hymns. King David's top 150. We have them in the Bible. There's 150 psalms. Psalm 117 is an example. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Now, the only problem is we don't have the music. So we have all the words of these songs, but we don't have the music. We have no idea what the music was like. It probably wasn't anything like the music we have today. No keyboards. Probably didn't even have the scale that we have. There were stringed instruments, so they must have had some notes, but we have no idea how they put them together. What we know was a little bit later in history, Gregorian chant, a style of music that was named after Pope Gregory some 1,500 years ago, used in the Mass, mostly sung by the clergy or the boys' choir, was in Latin. Probably Gregorian chant goes like this. If I go backwards here, if you look at Praise the Lord here, all you nations, Gregorian chant would have little marks, and those little marks would say what to do, like at the end of a line. So it might be, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples. So it might go down every time. Or it might go, praise the Lord, all you nations. It might go up just before it goes down. Praise the, extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us. And they'd have like various options, various signs at the end of the phrase that either go up or down, or go up and down two times. Or they had, you know, it could get kind of complicated. But it didn't matter how long the phrase was, because you sang one note at the beginning and then you did all the moving at the end. But you can see as it got more complicated, da 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 da, and all of this, you know, the more complicated it got, the more it starts sounding like the songs that we sing. So you can see how Gregorian chant probably evolved into more music, the kind that we know it. Moving on, the hymns became popular in the Reformation some 500 years ago. Since the Bible was being translated into the language of the local people, instead of using Latin, they would use German or French.
You
kind of
skipped the Latin. Did you want to talk about the Latin?
Oh, yeah,
motet?
The Latin. Yeah, I guess the Latin motet. That was Gregorian chant, and then it became more melodic, I suppose. Do you know any Latin motets?
No.
Remember back in college we sang that.
Yeah, but you remember that, and I don't.
And I don't know if this is the melody or if it's the tenor part, but it's it goes, misere. Just keep saying those same words, and it's something about our miseries or something. A lot of times there'd just be a few words, and then it would go up and down, and it's really quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. We did this Jubilate Deo, Jubilate Deo, Jubilate Deo, Alleluia. So that's kind of a Latin motet, and then it becomes parts. But the main thing we want to talk about is the hymns. As I said, they became popular in the Reformation. That's 500 years ago. And the Bible was being translated into the common people's language. And so they started taking local tunes, folk songs that people would use to sing about their lives. And they started putting more biblical kinds of phraseology to it, and people's faith, their response to the faith. And thus the hymns were born 500 years ago, and they're still popular today. Here's a few of the biggies. Amazing Grace, written by John Newton. He was a ex-slave trader. He had ships, and he would take the people, incarcerate them in Africa, and bring them to the New World. And then he got converted, and so you know one of the phrases is in the song is that saved a wretch like me, and that's how he felt. He felt like he was the bottom of the bottom, and so he wrote a song, in a way, of his own experience, and we've been singing it ever since. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Martin Luther, in a way, started the Reformation. And that song is still sung. Joy to the World, Christmas song, by Isaac Watts, written hundreds of years ago. Christ the Lord Is Risen Today, sung probably at Easter in many churches around the world. It was written by Charles Wesley, and just a note, Charles Wesley wrote almost 9,000 hymns in his life. That's a lot. Okay. They're still popular today because they are simple songs of faith, hope, and love that related to the common people. People would write of their own experiences, like John Newton wrote of his own personal conversion. The song "It Is Well With My Soul" was written by someone. I think he lost his daughter on the voyage over to the New World, and then he wrote this song that it was still well with his soul, even though, you know, all these horrible things happen. God is still close. So they're very personal, and I think they speak to people's lives. And they're easy to sing. They were easy to sing. They tend to be mostly on the downbeat. So they're easy to sing. You don't need a guitar. You don't need a drum. You could just sing them. They're easy to memorize. Trying to think of some hymns. Give me a hymn. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens. Okay, or give me another one. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ear, all nature rings.
Okay, so not much syncopation. It's all quarter notes, half notes, maybe eighths.
Yeah, it's all tends to be quarter notes. Most of the big words are important words, are right on the beat. Mm-hmm. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And because the words are right on the downbeat, it's just a lot easier to sing. Whereas new songs are on the upbeat, and we'll talk about that in the contemporary section. But hymns are very simple, easy to sing. You can use a piano, you can use an organ, but you can just sing them a cappella, and they work fine. Mm-hmm. They had a simple structure. Some of them are just verses. Amazing Grace.
Nearer, still nearer.
Lord. To be then, it's like four or five verses, and there's no chorus. So it's just one verse, second verse, third verse. Amazing Grace is just four or five verses. Some of them have choruses. It Is Well With My Soul You have a verse, and then it's it is well with my soul. It's a very simple little chorus, but the songs are very simple, and so people had no trouble singing them, and they had great harmonies. We have this. If you look in the supplemental material here of our program, or this class, we're putting all these songs, so you can download them or just listen to them online, whatever you want to do. But this is a CD that has 12 hymns, and it has the parts so that you can learn the parts. But as I was listening for this class, I started listening to some of these songs, and I thought, you know, they're really nice, and especially the harmony.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign.
Why don't you hear another one? Those words, when other helpers fail, and the darkness closes in, it's all stuff that people feel, and it's like pleading and praying to God, abide with me during those times. And it's just a call to help. And tomorrow I'm doing a funeral service, and maybe we'll be singing this song, but people will, they're going through a tough time, and a song like this gives you the words to say. You wouldn't know how to say these things yourself, but the hymn says them for you. Let me play just the I think it's the last one here. And it's a beautiful, beautiful older hymn. And number 47 here. But the harmonies are, I want you to see about the harmonies. It's just beautiful. It says, "Lo, how a rose e'er blooming."
Lo, how a rose e'er blooming from tender stems from of Jesse's lineage come me as saints of
actually a little bit syncopated. Mm-hmm. It's that's why it's a little harder to do. It's got some moving parts, and that's what makes it more fun. But the hymns typically didn't do that, although in some places they did. In France, they had, I forget what the kind of psalm singing it was called, but the notes, they were a little bit more syncopated. They weren't always on the beat. And then our heritage is a Dutch heritage, and they took those French songs and they just translated them into Dutch, and the notes of the music didn't always fit the words because
right.
the words were different, and but they just left it that way for 100 years. And finally, after 100 years, it was like, you know, these words don't really fit the music. So how are we going to take French words and the music that fit that and turn it into Dutch? So what they came up with is they just made every note the same.
All quarter notes?
All quarter notes are half notes. So I'm trying to think of what song was like that.
As the...
As the heart. So the original French tune went, as the heart about to falter in its pain and agony. So it was very syncopated, but the when the Dutch people translated it, it was just, as the heart about to falter in its pain and agony. They just made every you know, it sounds kind of silly right now, but that became a hallmark of Dutch singing, because the doxology is, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I mean, they really punched it out, and it became symbolic of strong, you know, like marching, almost Dutch singing. But it was because of this this problem of translation. So some of the hymns, you know, originally were more complicated, but over the years we sort of simplify, and they became very easy to sing. So that's, you know, in a way that's a positive about the hymns, because they are easy to sing. You don't need a band, you don't need drums, you don't need guitars. You can be sitting around the fire and just sing hymns. You can be sitting in a hospital room and someone can just start singing a hymn and people can join in. And because the words are simple, a lot of times people at least know the first verse of a song. But they're losing out to contemporary Christian music a little bit, you know, at least in some areas. At least here in the United States, maybe in Europe as well, or in other places of the world. And there's some reasons why. First, the organ. Now, you play the organ,
mm-hmm.
and you studied the organ.
Mm-hmm.
How many people were playing the organ back when you were...
Not very many.
No.
Well, there were the generation, the people that were older when I was learning, there was a huge amount of them. But my contemporaries, even, there weren't very many, say, my age who were learning
right.
at the same time that I was.
And how about now?
And now there are very few.
Right. So, you know, organ is a really complicated instrument. You know, you have a keyboard or maybe two keyboards.
Right.
And then you have your feet.
Right.
Are playing the bass thing, and there's all these stops and
right.
different sounds. And so a really good organist could play the four verses of a hymn, start off with a few soft stops, second verse make it totally different, third verse bring in some bass, fourth verse bring in the, you know, every pipe in the house. And it was like, you know, the thing could build.
Mm-hmm.
But now people that, you know, they don't know organ very well or anything, it's like, you know, every verse just played the same, put, you know, it's one volume, one thing, and here we go. So I think the hymns are waning a bit because they were dependent on the organ, or became dependent on the organ, and the organ is sort of...
Right, and it's an expensive instrument. So
yeah.
like our church is a church plant in a sense.
Right.
It's in a warehousey type building.
Yeah.
We can't afford
yeah.
to
we
buy
can't
one.
A $100,000 organ.
No.
So when you can buy a keyboard for a couple thousand
right.
dollars, and it has organ in it.
Right, and it's not very portable, so you
no.
can't, you know, move
yeah.
it with you.
Right. The hymns aren't syncopated enough for today's audience. People like that offbeat. They like singing on the off. It's not easy to do, but
right. But the popular music that you're listening to on the radio, let's say whatever's out in culture right now, is much more syncopated.
Yeah, it's syncopated. You know, we've used that word a few times. What does it mean?
Off the beat, off the main beat. So it's either a little bit ahead of the beat, the main.
Right. So the main beat would be if you're listening to a song and you just naturally tap your foot. When your foot is hitting the ground, it's the down. Mm-hmm. So with the drum, if you have a drum kit, the down beat is when the guy's hitting the he's hitting the bass.
Right.
And then the next beat he hits with the snare, and that's the off beat. So it's you don't even need a drum. You can just. So people want that on the offbeat, and the hymns are sort of on the downbeat. So the hymns are waning a bit. There's old word structure and archaic words. Younger people don't know what they mean, what it understands. I had an example here from
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, I think it's the third verse, goes, not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demand. So, you know, the works that I do cannot fulfill the law. I can't get right with God by what I do. But then it says, could my zeal no languor know? Could my tears forever flow? Languor. What does that mean? What?
Exactly.
Do you know what it means?
Could my zeal no languor know? So laziness or...
Okay. She knows because her dad had a dictionary this big, and he made everyone look up a word, and he loved words and so on. But the average person's going to go, languor. And one of the lines is, foul I to the fountain fly. Foul means... dirty with sin and so on. So there's a lot of words in these hymns people don't know, or the wording is not how we talk today.
Well, in your earlier example, as the heart.
Yeah. Is the heart about to falter? The heart is another word for?
Deer.
So just old words, archaic ways of saying things. And, you know, if people... you know, took the time to hear the words, I think they would speak to them, but a lot of times maybe the form of the music keeps you from even paying attention to the words. Verse after verse, the same, again with the organ problem, you know, you just sing the first verse, you sing the second verse, you sing the third verse, and nothing builds, nothing grows, there's no chorus, there's no coda, there's no bridge, you know, all these things that happen in contemporary music. And finally, the beat. It's not that there's no beat. It's not a beat driven kind of thing. Especially, you know, with the organs not being played the way they could be played. I mean, if you had a really good organist who can really pound on it, and you know, there's some kind of a beat. And the Dutch people, when they sang their songs, praise God from whoop, I mean, they would really, you know, mm-hmm. belt it out and emphasize it. But it's not like, you know, there's the beat today is pretty prominent in the bass and so on, and the hymns really are not driven by that. But hymns can be updated. You know, you can explain the words. You know, what does languor mean? And then people actually learn a new word, and it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You can explain the history of the hymns. You know, the stories behind the hymns. You can just Google the hymn and the whole background of who wrote it and why they wrote it. And some of the stories are just, they're really cool. You can use a full band. You can, instead of the organ, you can use the piano, the guitars. And now it takes something. We're going to do a separate video with our band, actually, to show you how that works. How do you play a hymn with your whole band? How do you add drums? Mm-hmm. To a hymn, you can't just start banging on the drum in the middle of the hymn and have it sound right. Some churches try to do that, and it just upsets everybody. It doesn't really work. You can add some syncopation. We'll demonstrate that too. Instead of just singing, I think we did that with Rock of Ages. You know, or not Rock of Ages, Amazing Grace. If you just play a little bit of, play more contemporary style. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. So when I did the sound, I did the on the offbeat instead of on the downbeat. In the original, it's on the downbeat. So you just sing it like it was a contemporary song. You throw in a little bit of syncopation, and a lot of artists are starting to do that. They're starting to sing the hymns more. The contemporary people are singing the hymns more. But they're sort of like, I guess I would call it jazzing them up, contemporizing them up,
right.
Adding some syncopation. Let the verses build, you know. We play It Is Well.
When Peace Like a River.
You start off When Peace Like a River very soft and very quiet. But eventually, It Is Well With My Soul, you're just belting that out, and you build it, and you start with just a piano, you start with maybe just a guitar, and then you add, maybe the bass comes in, and then the piano comes in, and then a few violins come in, and then eventually the drums and everything comes in at the end, and it like builds, and maybe you'll build it, and then all of a sudden the next verse you do a cappella, and everything drops out, and now, it's like you could hear a pin drop, and then maybe it comes back in again, and you know, there's some variety of the verses. It's not just, you know, sing a verse, done. It's like the song, you know, looking at the words and where they're going and what the story is, and then it drives home, and it speaks to all generations, really. So you add drums, and finally maybe you update the tune. Some hymns, people just aren't singing at all anymore, and yet the words are really good. And we'll show some of that too, where we did some of those where you just change the tune entirely. You come up with a totally modern tune in the section on how to write your own music, your own songs. We talked about how when you come up with a tune, a good place to look for words is the hymns, and that way they can be updated. So that's one stream, the hymns. Now, you know, I don't know what, you're perhaps in a different culture. You might be in the Philippines. You might be in Africa somewhere. And whether this hymn or that hymn was there, you know, you had some of them, probably. Some of the hymns eventually got all around the world. Or you have your own local history, your own local hymns. And some of the old songs that people used to sing and they're not singing anymore. And, you know, what can you do to sort of revive some of those? Because, you know, I think ultimately in heaven we're going to be singing all the songs of all the ages, and so why not choose some of the songs in your songbook for your church from the older songs and just, you know, try to update some part of it so that it can still speak to people.